As always, we seem to have a lot to get to this week. We've got enough for two whole shows if we needed to. There's an Apple event rumored with a date and a location. And as we'll discuss, we think it's probably worth putting on your calendar as good as announced, unless something were to change.
Yeah, I'd say it's all but confirmed.
Yeah, I mean, there's like there's different classes of like a event rumor, you know, et cetera, and how we grade them. And this is one that it's all but official. So what it is John Pikowski at BuzzFeed News has a date and a location, March 25th, for the next Apple event. And a focus on what the event will include and what it won't include, which we'll discuss in a moment. And then I think almost this whole show, there have been just a number of stories about Apple's news service and Apple's video service, and what they will include, who's part of these so far, who isn't, and I'm sure we'll get to this as well. But I made a comment to you about the news service before the event was kind of leaked and said wow, it sounds like it won't be this spring because major partners are not on board yet. And your reply to me was yeah, but Apple Music or iTunes Radio, you know, that kind of thing. There's always a major partner or two who isn't on board at the 11th hour. And they come around, and it seems like maybe that's kind of what's happening here. So,
I think in general, that's a pretty common pattern. Mm-hmm. There was before the iPad came out, there were all those stories about the book publishers not being on board.
Yeah.
and the iBooks project was really, really rushed, in general, because the story that I know is Jobs didn't... They talked about doing eBooks on the tablet, but they hadn't prioritized it, and the app wasn't finished until December. So mm-hmm. and the iPad was announced in January. So... And I believe it was started in not too long before that. So they rushed making the iBooks app. And while that was going on, they then had to get deals. And the deals were signed within January.
Right.
And when it launched, the Random House wasn't on board. That was the only holdout.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came on board by May when the iPad was out. And it was a smash hit.
Yeah.
And I think... And Jobs even played off the whole rumors of... Apple's tentatively not ready and people aren't ready to go with the keynotes where he announced movies on iTunes, because incredibly there was a time when Apple didn't sell movies on the iTunes store.
Right.
And then there were all these rumors at the time about Apple hasn't been able to sign the labels, and it's only going to be small studios that are going to be offered. And so Jobs had this slide where he showed six logos of the small scale studios, excluding the big names like yeah. Disney and stuff, right? And yeah. Pixar, and they went on there. And so he was baiting everybody. So everybody yeah. clapped, and it was like, oh, here's the six small studios. Okay, as far as the rumors. And then he went, and we got all of these. And, next slide, all the big names come up on the stage and everyone cheers or whatever. It's classic Jobs stage charisma.
Teasing the press, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I expect that is kind of what's going on here. These negotiations go hard until the last moment, and then they sign up to something, or they have the majority of them, and then they hope that the last one, the last person standing by will get on board eventually. Because if they're playing an event, they're must be at least confident that they can announce some partnerships.
So. Yeah, a part of me was thinking just from the original BuzzFeed story. So what happened was, it was just on Tuesday of this week that the Wall Street Journal had their story that we'll discuss in a moment about the progress of Apple subscription news service and who's included and who's not so far, and that the publishers don't like the terms. And it just sounded like there are some major newspapers like the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, that are not happy with the terms, and they're not going to be part of it until the terms are better, and that they're ongoing, but they're not there yet. And then a couple hours later, there's this BuzzFeed news story from John Pikowski, who has a long history of receiving the date and venue of Apple events before they're officially announced, and kind of a summary of what to expect from those events. And this was one of those. And John Pikowski's story on BuzzFeed News, he said, unlikely to make an appearance, next generation AirPods, or that rumored new iPad mini. Sources described the event as subscription services focused, but declined to say anything about Apple's standalone video streaming service, which was also rumored to debut in 2019. And his whole headline was about the Apple News service, the one that was just the subject of the Wall Street Journal's report. And so there was a period where you could guess that maybe they're really just going to do an event on the news service, and like video could be a month later or a few months later or much later in the year. And then today Bloomberg had a story that seems to nail down that the video will be a part of the same event, which, you know, that's much easier to imagine, an hour long event, you know, half video, half news. You don't have to have hardware for that. It's big enough on its own, I guess. But when it was just news, I was thinking like, you know, there's always this, you know, you think maybe Apple's going to slip up and they never do, but then like maybe this time they actually are planning this event, and they're using this leak as like pressure on the publishers to like join our service. And if you don't, then we're just going to announce a news subscription service without major news publishers in it, you know, like they'd have some, but not all. But
there's definitely like a domino effect where, mm-hmm. everyone kind of sits on the sidelines, and then finally they get an agreement with one massive name, and then Apple can go to, say if Wall Street Journal signs on, Apple then goes to Bloomberg and says, look, Wall Street Journal's on, are you going to be out, essentially? Right. And then it just, you know, pushes everyone to conform.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, on the Wall Street Journal story on its own, it was kind of neat to see like, as almost like a power play of like the Wall Street Journal using their discussions, as like public negotiation, like putting it out there as part of a story of like, here, these terms are pretty bad. And, you know, this is like their negotiation tactic is to put out there. So then like the public can react to the bad terms, and then they can say, look.
Yeah, they had some very, very good sources familiar to the matter.
Right.
Everything's so, every story's so interlinked this week. Like, we'll get to the news afterwards. Cause
yeah,
the unlikely to, make an appearance with the AirPods and the iPad mini, mm-hmm. spans from a rumor that came in the morning, yeah. from this Italian Greek site, iPhoneHellas.gr, that said Apple was going to release AirPower, entry-level iPad, and second-generation AirPods on the 19th of March, mm-hmm. sorry, the 29th of March, mm-hmm. and there'd be an event 2 weeks before that. And then now we get Paschkowski essentially setting expectations downwards and saying that the AirPods and the iPad mini are not going to appear, which again kind of implies this is somewhat of a controlled leak, because it's the classic formula.
The idea of a controlled leak is like, if they're, you never want to have the controlled leak. Like whenever we have these major leaks, like we've had, you know, we had the first sign of the AirPods with the charging indicator on the outside as part of the iOS 11 GM leak, and then Animoji, iPhone 10 and 8 names, except for how I pronounced it, the X, the watch getting LTE, the new watch face. And then this year we had the 10S, 10S Max images, and the Series 4 images. And like, those are not controlled leaks, and they wouldn't be good anyway, because like, instead of ramp down expectations, they just kind of spoil it, you know, in some ways. And
they either overhype it or they spoil it.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And this kind of leak is like, everyone wants more than what they're actually going to give. So it's smart to not disappoint by the actual event and kind of measure expectations, kind of realign expectations before the event starts. So then you're not like, oh, well, what happened? And the history of like John Pekowski having these stories, you know, is that it is reporting, like you've got to ask the questions every time, and like, you know, maybe for years you don't get an answer, but then like eventually someone talks when there's incentive to. And that's kind of how I see this. It's like the last time he had one of these stories that I could find that we covered was 2015. He had a story that a new Apple TV, which was the Apple TV 4, was coming in the fall, but it would not include Apple's web TV service, which was like the big thing, was like Apple's going to do like a YouTube TV style service, you know, where you pay and you get over the internet streaming live TV, not original content, but like live TV, like cable, but over the internet. And he had a story that was like, it's going to come in the fall, but without the TV service, which was correct. And before that, in 2014, he had I think like the iPhone event date. And before he was at BuzzFeed News, he was at Recode, and even like in, he had like a Code Red segment, that was like a daily update of news stories about tech. And, you know, every few months it'd be like an Apple story in the mix of those. And so we'd cover the Code Red segment, and often it was like, this is the next Apple event date. And, it, you know, often used to kind of like downplay what to expect. If they like the rumors were overhyping, and I always say like, not even the story that you covered, which was like the wrong event date. And then like what would be included, from that, that other source site. But, you know, us finding, the Hey Siri AirPods in iOS 12.2, that's pretty good evidence that like those are coming in the spring, like with that update, but they could just be doing that for the fall. And that seems to be maybe more the case. And also that there's a, the strong rumor of the 10-inch iPad, and that isn't addressed in the BuzzFeed news story is like up or down, but it seems like that might not be part of this event. Like, you know, and the iPad mini could be a press release because there's a, you know, a separate story this week that says it will look like the iPad mini 4. It will just have a new chip. And that's believable. But like a 10-inch iPad would be a different screen size. And so you'd imagine that that would be some type of new redesign in some way. And that's kind of stage time worthy. So it's not addressed here, but you would think that that would have some event attached to it and not just a press release and like, here's a new iPad. Maybe. What do you think?
Yeah, potentially. Especially if in the slice of time when we thought this was going to be news only, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe slipping in the iPad at 10-inch at least has some synergy, because you can announce the new iPad, then you can, and what can you do on this new iPad? You can read all our new magazines, right? Because it's like a perfect size for that. Mm-hmm. And it's cheap and it's accessible. So before the video service stuff blew up of confirmation, because in the story, Piskowski's story said his source would not comment on the state of whether the TV service would be a part of the event.
Right.
Even though the event was subscription focused. And my like takeaway at the time was, well, if you've got a source who can tell you the date, the venue, say that the new service is a go and that AirPods and Apple Mini aren't, it seems kind of weird to me that they wouldn't know about the fate of the TV service. So
right.
I kind of read into that as it's not happening in March.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, that isn't the case anymore.
Right, that was a full 24 hours in between the BuzzFeed news story and then the Bloomberg update on that.
Yeah, so in the slice of time when it was the only thing that seemed confirmed was news, it was like, you know, an Apple event has to be realistically at least an hour long for them to bother doing it. And the news service is very important to the company. It is, you know, services bell, ring the bell, services, booster services. But it is. You can't fill an hour just by talking about a news service. Like,
yeah, and
just
at Steve Jobs Theater, which is like, so the history of these spring events in recent years has been, you know, they had the one where they had the 9.7-inch iPad Pro. So they had like a fall event with the big iPad 12.9-inch, and they had a smaller version. Had the iPhone SE, and I think that was it. You know, anyway, that was its own spring event, and then an iOS update to go along with it. And then I think maybe there's like a gap. And then there was 2 years later, the iPad 9.7-inch 329 event. And then a year later, last year, there was the 329 iPad with Apple Pencil support, you know, and an even faster chip. And that's kind of been like the spring event for the last 4 years. It was like three events, one gap 1 year. And then like this is the next version of that. And they've not been at Steve Jobs Theater. Like, I think this is the only, you know, if that's correct, like as John Pekowski says, this will be the first Steve Jobs event that isn't September for iPhone plus other stuff.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
And we've had iPhone 2017, then we had iPhone 2018. And then, you know, we even said it on Happy Hour, I think, like last year. It was like, why don't they use this, you know, their own theater for other events? It's right. Like, the other events are fine, but the venue is so much cooler when you're at Apple Park in the, you know, in their custom-built theater.
Because they did the school for Chicago for the iPad education event last year, which, you know, okay. And it made sense for the education theme. And then for the iPad
Pro
and Mac event from this past fall, they were in New York at, like, a music school. And it was... you know, had no like direct connection to anything. It was just they liked the venue and they wanted to do it in New York, and they didn't have two back-to-back events in California, I guess. So this will be the first spring event at Apple Park at Steve Jobs Theater. And that was weird too. It was like, okay, you're going to do this kind of semi-boring event at Steve Jobs Theater. Like, you know, I made a joke on Twitter, like it was, if it's an Apple News event, like it kind of sounds like an Apple snooze event. Like there's not much exciting to it. It's like how we all like the news. We make our living that way. But as a scale of like an Apple event, it doesn't sound like its own thing. And, you know, and so would you use Steve Jobs Theater like to ramp, like, make it more exciting? It doesn't really scale. I don't know. But the learning that there's also going to be video, at least, like, you know, and we've not heard anything more about the rumored game subscription service that Cheddar was the first and only to report so far. And maybe that's like later in the year. Maybe it's not a
surprise.
You know, we don't know. But yeah, but I mean, if you threw that in there too, then like you could easily fill an hour on those different things, especially with lots and lots of demos. So I think this is all like reliable stuff. Let's look at the Wall Street Journal story for a bit. The story there was, and this is kind of like the first of all the major stories to come out besides like the wonky rumors of this week.
It's so weird how everything crosses over this week.
Like, yeah.
There's so much interlinking.
Yeah. The Wall Street Journal, said that, all of these are talks and negotiations and nothing's like solid and concrete yet, but their whole story was that Apple's working on the new subscription service and they're pitching the price of about $10 a month, the same as Apple Music. So you pay $9.99 every month and you get access to all this news content that I assume would otherwise be paywalled. Otherwise, like, why would you pay for it? So it's paywalled content, but you get it for free.
Wait, it could be
$10.
It could be normal stories, just no ads.
Yeah, maybe. It's just like, even on like the New York Times website, like if you're a subscriber, you get around the, you pay to not have a paywall. I think you still get ads. Like they want to do every form of revenue possible. So I don't know. Maybe, that might be the case, but it's tricky. But they say $10 a month and then Apple is proposing to keep half of that revenue. So you know, they keep the $5 a month per subscriber and then among every publisher in the pro, you know, in the subscription service, they would divide the remaining 50% among publishers based on engagement in the app. So like if you read New York Times, if more people read the New York Times than the Wall Street Journal, they would get more of, you know, the half of the revenue from the service. And, you can imagine that just wouldn't go very well. And another angle to it is that the publishers, when they can sell a subscription, they can have your contact information and information about billing and stuff that they can use. They can use marketing information, basically, is your name and your email address, if nothing else. And then that's worth something to them that they can extract value from that information alone. And, with the Apple News service, Apple has the customers. They don't share it with anybody else because they don't have an interest in that. And they definitely don't give it to the publishers. So not only are they getting less revenue from customers, they also don't get the extra marketing information that they could.
Yeah, they don't get the data because at the very least, if you give your email to the New York Times and you subscribe for 3 months and then you stop subscribing, they'll send you an offer with an email saying, right, come back to us for only a dollar or whatever. Like that alone has a lot of value to the publishers involved. Maybe the whole comeback offer thing could be a feature of the news app in the same way that Apple does the, oh, here's another 3 month trial of Apple Music because we noticed you've stopped paying for it, for instance. So there could be some of that involved on like a publication per publication basis, which would then obviously increase subscriber numbers for the publishers and give Apple more revenue. But in general, you know, publishers like having that information because then, especially for the ones that continue to show to sell ads, they use that information to cross-reference with databases and they work out demographics and all of that stuff as well. So it all has additional value. Mm-hmm. And if you just look at the price of the New York Times subscription alone per month, you know, it's more than $5 a month.
Right. Yeah. You'll see like really good entry prices, like 99 cents for like 3 months, that kind of thing. And then it'll go much higher from there. Like they'll give you like weekly prices or like bi-monthly prices. And then to cancel, You've got to like pick up the phone and call a phone number and talk to an agent to cancel. You can't like, it's harder than like in a gym, you know, they make it hard on purpose. And so there's a lot of reasons not to even bother with Apple service. Like, because the risk is that you lose potential subscribers, direct subscribers, and Apple's pitch must be, we're going to give you a big pool of people who wouldn't bother paying ever. But you know, then you run the risk of like, well, maybe they're going to, your deal is way better than our deal. So then we're just going to like lose subscribers that way. So you can see why 50% revenue split among all participants isn't a great deal. And that there's got to be a better deal to be worked out than that. And if they were to do some sort of bundle, like every analyst and investor wants a bundle right now from Apple that has like a mix of services or all services for one price, then how do you divvy that up? Because if it's like $10 a month for news, but 30 for news and video and music or something like that, then like, you know, it's even harder to divide up that money. And it feels like
I mean, I guess the contract would say if the person is part of the, you know, family plan or thingy plan, then the contribution of the new service is X. So
right, yeah,
we just carry on dividing that much. Because if Apple sold you a $50 a month all in, they'd probably still say the news publications only get the 50% share of the $10 equivalent for the news thing.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And the other detail in the Wall Street Journal story was like they had a line that was like literally like, the Wall Street Journal is still in talks with Apple about this. Like they were reporting on their own negotiations. But they also said that the New York Times and the Washington Post are not included either yet. So like, I guess that leaves out like the LA Times and like, you know, Chicago Tribune, like some other major national papers. I don't know, but,
yeah, Wall Street Journal said it has concerns, but its recent conversations with Apple have been productive.
Yeah. I was thinking, I kind of joked with you that like maybe Apple News editorial team just like have like their own version of the story. Not that they do original reporting, but if they're going to go back and forth on this.
The whole model of like sharing the pool of money based on time read is also really weird. However, I believe that is the model that Texture used.
Really?
So yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously Texture currently, it was originally more expensive, but after Apple bought it, they took the price to $9.99 a month. And I don't know what the revenue share was. I somehow doubt that the $200 million startup was commanding 50% revenue share with the publications.
Yeah.
But it from what I can tell, it paid out based on the amount of articles read per publication, the amount of time spent in articles. Which, as soon as you ever see something which is we pay out based on engagement rates, I'm immediately trying to think of like how people are gonna abuse it. Like, how do you find a way to maximize your share of the $5 a month per person? Like, are you gonna have a million photos you have to scroll through? Are you gonna have a slideshow where you have to tap? It's so analogous to like the YouTube thing where, you know, YouTube is coming up with money if they make 10-minute videos that are at least 10 minutes long, so everyone now just makes 10-minute and 1-second videos. Like,
right.
It distorts the content selection. It just does. So that doesn't leave a great taste in my mouth from like the editorial perspective. And then it's really hard for me to see how, you know, slicing it up like a pizza and the total is only $5. Like, how is that going to convert into meaningful amounts for the big publications? Because even if you have five thing, that goes to $1 per person, and all these sites are charging, you know, like average $10 a month. Like, it's 10 times less. And that's if only an Apple News reader looks at five sources, and presumably there's going to be like hundreds in the mix. Like, I can't envisage how this, you know, shakes out to be a profitable venture.
This week, 9to5Mac Happy Hour is sponsored by Smile and Text Expander, an app I personally rely on completely for my daily work. Here's the thing. Copy and paste is an inefficient way to keep track of the things you type again and again. Text Expander makes you more productive by taking care of all those words and phrases for you. Just create short text snippets for things you type repeatedly and let Text Expander do the rest. Text Expander works in all your apps, so you can use it everywhere, like Microsoft Word and Excel, Adobe Illustrator and InDesign, and Apple's Pages. All your snippets everywhere. Text Expander updates new and edited snippets between your Mac, iPhone, iPad, and even Windows PC instantly. Spend less time typing and more time doing what you really want. You can find free snippet groups for job recruiters, freelancers, airport codes, brand names, and much more at the Text Expander website. And you don't have to work alone. Text Expander for Teams lets you manage and share snippets with your coworkers or an entire company. Stay consistent, stay accurate with Text Expander. I personally use Text Expander every day to fill out lengthy HTML templates used for formatting the show notes for every 95 Mac podcast consistently and quickly, and even special Text Expander snippets for appending the day and date to file names like each episode. I also use Text Expander to quickly share my contact information and shipping details in lots of places, including over email, which saves me a ton of time and helps me avoid typos. So visit textexpander.com/podcast to learn more about Text Expander and receive 20% off the cost of your first year. Our thanks to Text Expander and Smile for sponsoring 9to5 Mac Happy Hour. Yeah, the difference too in like paid per consumption is on its own like super fair because it's you get paid for like what I guess gets looked at, and the idea is like if you've got the best content then it gets looked at. But if you're selling through a paywall directly, like to subscribers directly, then they can never read the content, and you can make the same amount as if they read everything every day. And it's like if you have a gym membership, the gym makes money. If you never arrive, like it's better for them if you don't come, I guess, than if you use every machine every day. So it's just a lot less of a good deal for the publishers in that regard. I've got some confusion around like the texture, mix in this and the news, because texture is like, collection of magazines, and we've even seen in the iOS 12.2 code, Guy Rambo saw he could pull up screenshots, I think in the simulator that showed like Apple News magazines, and then that being a service that you paid for, and it showed like the magazine's covers. We discussed this last week or so. And the Wall Street Journal story was only about newspaper publishers, so not about magazines specifically. And texture, I took a look at it today, like they only have magazines. They don't do newspapers. And so part of me wonders, is Apple News, you know, pay one fee a month, both magazines and newspapers? Because then you're dividing up what used to just be magazines with newspapers too. And,
okay, we have breaking news.
Okay, yeah.
In the continuing saga of the services stories,
okay.
Recode has just posted a sort of explainer for the 50% rumor.
Okay.
They say that Texture did pay out 50% of the revenue to publishers, because Texture was owned by like Condé Nast people.
Yeah,
so they, so the owners got a 10% share of the $10 a month, and then publishers that weren't part of Texture got 50%. Again, based on eyeballs and time spent in.
So maybe
50% isn't so outrageous.
Maybe magazines are okay with that because this different world than newspapers, and it's the newspapers. That's where I'm confused in all of this and haven't seen a good description or answer of what's happening here. Is like texture. There's two points. There's that texture is just magazines and not newspapers and not like online, you know, stories is like they're breaking news and they're behind the paywall and you only get so many per month for free. Because it sounds like we've seen like formal stuff. It's like there's Apple News magazines, and is that a $10 service? And then Apple News premium is like newspapers in that, or, you know, or is it one thing for one price? And also texture, like is, I think service is like, whereas like Newsstand used to be like, apps for magazines that were especially made, but it was like digital content. It wasn't like PDF scans for the most part. Texture is mostly like the PDF files of what gets printed out.
Yeah, like, and it's been rumored that Apple's interpretation of the service will be more native content layout, not just a PDF.
Yeah, otherwise you would just keep Texture running forever and not worry about integrating it. But it sounds like I would imagine that if it's in Apple News, they're not going to mix in like native content in an Apple News format with PDF scans of magazines. Like that is just not very good.
Yeah, they're going to want all the publishers to publish in Apple News format, so it fits in.
Yeah, so it seems like there's a lot of stuff that's got to change between like how it works now and how it will work. And...
Well, I'll carry on reading from the story.
Go ahead.
The subtitle is exactly what you just said. Magazine publishers are on board with Apple's new subscription service. Newspapers aren't.
Okay.
It says that, according to industry sources, Apple has already signed many publishers to deals where they'll get 50% of the revenue of Apple generates through subscriptions, and it'll be relaunched in the spring. And some publishers are happy to do it because they think Apple will sign up many millions of people, and they'd rather have a smaller percentage of a bigger number than a bigger chunk of a smaller number. Mm-hmm. According to one executive, quote, "It's the absolute dollars paid out that matters, not the percentage." And it goes on to say that that argument has been bringing news magazines on board, but big newspapers are hesitant to join, like the New York Times and the Washington Post.
Yeah. So we've got, you know...
And it certainly phrases it as if the $10 a month includes both magazines and newspapers.
Okay. So that's some clarity as to like what Apple's pitching, which is I'm not super interested in this like whole product of like paying for something else. I think paying for journalism is really important, and the ad model works pretty well for us. Although people like ad blockers, and then in that case, like, you know, you've got to do things like sponsored content and affiliate links and stuff like that. It works at
even 95 Mac offers, you know, the 95 Mac app, which you can pay $2 a month to go ad free on, for instance.
Right. So I think that's great. And I think it's really important to support like local journalism, because that's going away in a big way, like local print reporting. And that's really too bad, because you lose out on a lot of good work that could happen. And then at a national level, there's no shortage. It's shrinking, but there are competing national newspapers, whereas like local papers are just going away entirely, which is sad. But so I think it's important is that we're journalism. But like personally, this product doesn't super appeal to me for the magazine stuff. And for the news stuff, I think it's a really good deal if like you're getting magazines and news for the fee, like less than what you'd pay like one newspaper, for example, like for an online membership. But it doesn't.
Yeah, and if Texture was already getting 50% share, like then that makes it, because Apple's got way more power than, you know, Texture did when it first came out. So
So maybe Apple wants us to be magazines and news, and Texture as it was is going to continue to be fine, like as part of Apple News. Maybe there's a whole question about, is it still PDF scans or is it integrated better? And hopefully it's integrated better than just like images that you move around on your screen, especially on an iPhone. And maybe the newspapers just like aren't on board. Like, but if they got like USA Today and some major like things that you read online, but you hit a paywall for, or you get like the limits of like, you can read this story this many times, you know, maybe it's compelling. I know people like the Apple News app as it is today much more than I do. Like I put it on my home screen every now and then, and like on the Mac every now and then to like try and use it more, but I just can't use that versus Twitter as like, because I'm so fine tuned to using Twitter and RSS for like finding breaking stories, that like passively reading stuff in Apple News feels almost like I'm reading a newspaper that was like printed the night before and distributed. I guess it's just all relative, like how you consume news. But
newspapers are still popular, though.
Yeah, like, certainly.
Their monetization models are, you know, dropping through the floor, but people still like to read them, at least online. So
yeah.
And internationally, we don't even like, it's different, because we have, for instance, like BBC News, which is completely ad free and, you know, independent essentially. And that is a great proxy for just like news. So if in the UK Apple had BBC News and then magazines, which, you know, you had the pay you paid for as a bundle, people would be very happy with that, I think. Like, and I'm sure we could also get other, you know, we obviously have newspapers as well, but if you just had like the free BBC content, people would be pretty happy, because you'd get a good selection of news in addition to, you know, the magazine stuff, assuming you're interested in magazines. Like, this definitely gives Apple leverage to, and explains why, even if the deals on newspapers aren't set, they're ready to announce this, because they can just announce it. In the worst case, they can just announce it as magazines only.
There are so many. Like, if you look at what Texture has, there are so many different magazines. Like if you walk into a bookstore or a drugstore, there are so many magazines. It's crazy. Like I was looking at Text earlier today, and they even have like National Esquire, I think, which is like they're in the news right now because of the Jeff Bezos story with apparent extortion. And I was like, oh, you can access them through this subscription if you want to. I guess magazines probably publish less online. Like they've got, I don't know how that goes. Cause you don't see the magazines that you see in the newspaper, like on the checkout aisle, like their web, you don't see like breaking news from their websites like you do with newspapers. So maybe it's that Apple needs to have very different deals for magazines than they have for newspapers. And like, that's what seems to be clear out of all of this so far. But if that's the case, that it's magazines plus news, and it's a better service than if it was just news before it was just magazines. And it's almost like it doesn't exist today, like that you can't find something like this yet, that they're putting together something new.
I do think it's hilarious that like this idea of an Apple, you know, being a news publisher, on a digital news outlet platform was like the rumor for the iPad for months. Like while Apple was doing a tablet, it's going to revolutionize news, it's going to do all this crazy stuff for the publishing industry. And then the iPad came out and there was basically nothing about that. Like, they did books, but Apple itself did nothing to help with the news apps really at all. Like you couldn't even do new subscriptions at the time. You couldn't even do recurring subscriptions. It would be, you have to buy an episode at a time for like 99 cents an issue. And then eventually they added, you know, preliminary support for subscriptions. And then they did Newsstand, but still that wasn't like an integrated service. It was just a nice folder to store all your news apps in. Like it was still separate and you paid, you know, left, right, and center. This is finally like the first go at it, really.
Yeah, I think that Apple's view of it was that the form factor of the iPad itself would be the boost to digital news, and like that would replace the print newspaper. And they seemed to take the same approach with books, was that like the iPad was just so great that print would go away, like because you can fit 200 books on an iPad and you could never fit 200 books in a backpack, and you can make them much cheaper. And but then there's trade-offs, like you can't reuse books over and over when they're licensed to like individuals, and there's you know, new challenges with it, not to mention the fact that like iPads are just not as cheap as print. And I kind of like that with this whole thing. Like you could almost ignore the iPad. Like if there's no iPad at this event, because like that is a clever angle of like show off the news service, show off the new iPad as like what to read it on. But in reality, more people will consume this content on their iPhone.
Yeah.
That's where you want to target the customers if you expect to make money back from this. And that's totally fair. Like, you know, the iPad can be lots of different things. It can be a computer replacement. It can be a consumption device for video. And it doesn't have to, you don't have to look at it as like your news reader, because you're more likely to read like in line on your iPhone, like while you're waiting to pay for something, and not have your iPad like, you know, on you right there. Then you are like, iPad is almost like a direct replacement for what a, you know, like you're in your, the old classic Steve Jobs demo of like, you know, in a recliner. And it's just like, it's a replacement, but it's not like an enhancement in a lot of ways. You know, unless you're doing like stuff with video and makes it much more complex. So I like that this, for the first time, it feels like they're not using that angle at all. And it's just like, we have a lot of iPhone customers, and you need to be in front of them, you know, and we're going to put you in front of those customers. The other thing with Newsstand is like they made some progress there, and they did seem to try to get on that path, and they gave up, you know, this is different than that. And for the first time, like they want to be much more involved, and they've got success in services now, like with Apple Music, for example. They've got some experience putting this stuff together. And so I think it's wholly different than like what we've seen so far with them promoting the daily news app. It's like they were really excited about that. They thought that might be the new thing. It was like digital news from an app that you can only get on your iPad. It didn't work out, you know. And this feels like it's not going to replace anything. It's just going to be another option. And it seems like this could you know, like you said, a lot of people read news. Could be good for Apple, and it's like a new service revenue stream, And it's not where Newsstand failed. This could go on for a long time because it's not crazily different. This week, Endify Mac Happy Hour is sponsored by Captera. So here's the thing. It's 2019, but you're probably still doing things the old way at work, right? New year, new you. So start the year off right by replacing that clunky old software that you know causes you angst and agony. Instead, you can find software you love that fits your business's need using Captera.com. Captera is the leading free online resource to help you find the best software solutions for your business. Again, totally free. And with over 700,000 reviews of products from real software users, you can discover everything you need to make an informed decision. Simply search more than 700 specific categories of software, everything from project management to email marketing to yoga studio management software. No matter what kind of software your business needs, Captera makes it easy to discover the right solution and fast. And since Captera is totally free to browse, you can be empowered to make the best decision for your business without needing to ask your boss for a penny. No need to feel like you don't know where to start. Instead, you can be the expert on what software is best. Join the millions of people who use Captera each month to find the best and right tools for your business. Visit Captera.com/happy hour for free today to find the right tools to make 2019 the year for your business. Captera.com/happy hour. Captera. That's CAPTERRA.com/happy hour. Our thanks to Captera for sponsoring 9 to 5 Mac Happy Hour. All right, Mayo, the other half of the Rumored Services event is not just news, but video. And there seems to be kind of two parts to that as well. So CNBC had a news story today that was it didn't make it clear if video would be part of the event or not. Bloomberg separately had a story later in the day that said, yes, video will be a big part of the event. But CNBC's angle on it was that while Apple's got their original content that they've been working on for a while, they've got this situation where they want to sell subscriptions to video services through the TV app, which has been reported by a few places over the last few months. It's a model that Amazon uses already. It's not going to be the first that we've seen of this, but it's new for Apple. And, you know, I guess you can already subscribe to a lot of services through the App Store, but this would be through the TV app. So it's where you would maybe consume it. Although right now you still use it, you jump from the TV app to the video app of the whatever service it is. But CNBC's angle on it was that some major video partners that might be you might expect to see are not included yet. I think they named HBO as on the fence and Netflix is like not interested for now. And the Netflix thing was interesting to me because they don't integrate with the TV app at all. And they seem to be doing fine on their own. They're just not interested in what Apple has to offer for them.
Yeah, the only thing Netflix does in the TV app is when you search for a show, it can say, you can play it in Netflix.
Yeah, it's like an extension of universal search on tvOS, which they were early to support with like voice search and in the universal search app. But
critically, they won't appear in the up next queue, which destroys the point of it.
And you won't just discover content there, like Netflix originals. So, and then HBO and lots of other video sources do integrate well. There's just no mechanism yet for like paying Apple through the TV app. You would pay through an app on the App Store, and then you can manage your subscription from like Apple settings for that. But
and nothing actually, apart from Apple's content today, nothing actually plays in the TV app. Like when you go to finally play, it opens the HBO app, so you get a slightly different interface when you're actually watching the video, which is a bit wonky, for instance.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can see how this would work, but because Amazon already does this with, I think they've got a feature called Channels, but you can pay Amazon for Prime, but then you can add on video services like HBO and Showtime, and then you can be in the Amazon Prime video app, like on the Apple TV, and search for content. And if HBO now has it, then it'll be included on the Amazon Prime video app. So they're kind of modeling after what Amazon is doing there. It's not brand new, but it's just new for Apple. And that was neat to me because I hadn't thought about the video service plus that as like one thing, but I guess it would be like the TV app of like what you can get in the TV app. And then because we've not heard that Apple will license a bunch of content, if any, that's you can find elsewhere. It's just original content that Apple's either bought or paid for to be produced. And that's like their video service. But then if you think about it as that plus what you add on from HBO or Showtime, or if it ever happened, weirdly Netflix, which seems like really similar, but okay, I guess it would make sense. Then that's almost like paying for, you know, cable, and then you add on the premium channels to your cable package. So you kind of look at it as like one bill. It's like your Apple Video bill plus the premium channels that you add on to it. So then it can go much higher. But it's all in the TV app, and you think about it as like your TV bill. That makes some sense to me, but the story there from CNBC was that, they're not getting traction from some major players that you might expect to be there. And then,
unlike news, though, Apple's trying to get 30% share of the revenue on this particular one for if you're subscribing to HBO or whatever.
Yeah. And it made me wonder, like, I wonder what Amazon split is, like, if they just don't care and they just, all they care about is that your content's there. So it makes Prime better, or if they really care about getting some of that revenue from the service, you know?
I'm sure they probably take something like 15 or probably something around there.
Yeah. And maybe it's just that Apple should just kind of look at what Amazon does in terms of the split and just say, you know, the more, if they want to bother, because you can already pay in lots of different ways for this content on an Apple platform. So like having it as part of the TV experience isn't radically different than what you can do today. So I don't know about all that, but they also said, you know, launching in April or May or so, and it made us think, will this be part of the services event? Because you could see a March 25th announcement and then launching a month later, that would make some sense. But if it's not ready yet, there would be plenty of stuff to show off from the original content, but and then it's like a slide to say also in the TV app, you can pay for these channels to add on to what we're offering. But like most of the presentation would be what Apple's been producing and like how it all works. You know, how much does it cost? What's the user interface for like browsing all the content, you know? And
yeah, where can you watch it? Like, yeah. Is it just Apple devices? Assumably the Samsung TV that, you know, currently has or will get the iTunes app will actually be the TV app. And then maybe there might be some integration with, you know, Roku and other set-top boxes that we haven't heard about yet. Or we even had that like rumor about maybe Apple does a streaming stick instead of the Apple TV, which is like $150 plus. They could do a really cheap streaming stick just to be able to push their original content through more places, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. And then after the CNBC story, maybe a couple hours later, Bloomberg had a story that acknowledged the Recode news or the BuzzFeed news story about the event on the 25th of March. So they say, yes, we're hearing that as well. And their angle on it is that a bunch of movie stars like Jennifer Aniston and then Hollywood people like J.J. Abrams that are involved in these Apple Video projects are being invited to the event. So it was a Mark Gurman story. The other person on the bylines, I don't have her name in front of me, but she's like the entertainment reporter for BuzzFeed. So it was neat to see that angle on an Apple story because of entertainment. So that makes sense. That and then that gives us the answer, you know, that we'd wondered. It'll be Apple News pay for as part of the announcement, and then the video stuff seems to, I think that'll be a lot more like glamorous of like what the headlines are out of the event. It's like Apple's announced this new thing, and doing it in one event, like as around the idea of like new services for Apple, like investors will like that. It's a new revenue stream for Apple. You can talk about both things as one story. And I think the video stuff is more interesting because like the new stuff is it's a different way to pay for something, but it's not original. Like you can get it elsewhere. But the video stuff is like Apple's contribution there is they paid for the production and they had, you know, talented people with taste pick what gets included and gets made. And so that won't exist anywhere else but on Apple's video service. So that's I think that'll be the big focus of the event and like what makes the headlines the most.
Can you imagine if they demo like 10 shows and everyone's like, these are terrible?
Like a 30-second clip, a trailer of each show, and this just like goes on and on and on. But yeah. I mean,
which is what like actual networks do. If you go if you actually watch a network like a HBO event, they will show you like minute trailers of, you know, all their shows they're gonna release this year. That's their event. They just have someone talk about, and we're bringing a new season of bloody blah, Orange is the New Black, and here's a trailer, and then here's a new thing of Game of Thrones, and here's a trailer. Like, that is how the media industry really, really does it. It's just trailer after trailer after trailer. Now, hopefully Apple will make it a bit more exciting than that, but...
If you watch, like, old Apple keynotes where they mainly run iTunes or, like, the iPod playing video for the first time, stuff like that, where they do demo TV shows on stage... Like, those always get cut from the video afterwards because they're, like, like licensing reasons, you know? Like, you'll see, like, Steve Jobs introduce something and then, like, it skips to, like, you know, the whole video part of it. Or it's silent, you know, or something because they don't own the content. And this time, I guess it'll be part of the keynote because they have it. It's theirs. So, yeah, I mean, I think this makes the event more interesting, especially with the lack of hardware. And we hope that the hardware stuff could just come in, like, you know, drips and like press releases here and there. If it's not like one thing one day, then it's because there's a lot to look for that's been rumored, you know, AirPower whenever, AirPods, you know, hopefully soon, the iPod Touch 7 update. My daughter still asks me, which I think is awesome, but you know, that thing. The iPad Mini 5, the iPad 9.7 and changing to 10 inches. There's a lot of stuff that could come. iMacs, it's been a while since we had no iMac last year, except for the Pro released like in the last week of the year before.
It's a 12-inch MacBook.
Yeah, 12-inch MacBook.
That was a spring event before.
Right. So there's a lot of stuff that could be hardware that could be around this time of year because it's due or expected or it used to happen this time of year that we don't have. But yeah, I mean, if it's a service to like it's news and it's TV, I think the TV stuff makes people digest the event much better.
The TV stuff is definitely what will have the biggest headlines.
Yeah.
Because A, it's original content, so it's you'll be able to have breakdowns of everyone's opinions on every single show that they announce.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is actually brand new versus just a different way to get the same thing.
Yeah, and they'll finally overcome the reputation of carpool karaoke. Well, carpool karaoke wasn't terrible. I mean, that's its own thing outside of Apple Music.
Yeah, which they're carrying on. They haven't stopped
that one. But the Planet of the Apps was what really gave them a bad reputation. And this is entirely different than all of that. It's leagues apart. And this has been in the works since June 2017. That's when they hired the two Sony executives. And we've not seen, aside from news stories, anything, you know, come from that yet. And this seems like this event will finally get what all of that has been about, you know.
I wonder if we'll have the Sony execs on stage.
It would make sense. I mean, that was one of the stories where, I remember you covered the original story. It was summer 2017. That Apple did a very short press release to announce a hire. Like they rarely announce hires through press releases like that, and they did.
Yeah.
Because you know it was a big thing. And
the Sony people carry a lot of credibility to the media industry.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
showing their face even for a little bit is probably wise.
And it wasn't just the two Sony picture executives that they hired. Like they've been a lot of hires since then. From that world that I'm sure they were involved with picking, you know, but at least because those two got a press release, it makes sense to have them on stage. Like it's like Eddie Q, it's his division, but he's not the expert here. They are like he has to trust them on this stuff. So
I mean, you could almost have Eddie Q doing the news section and then pass it over to the Sony people.
Yeah,
and of course you'll have at least one celebrity that will feature, because obviously Jennifer Aniston's making the original content for Apple. You've got Steve Carell. They could bring out some famous faces. And as soon as I saw the whole Hollywood thing, it's like, yeah, this is why they're at Apple Park. They've got to bring out the big guns now. We're on our own campus, our incredible architectural masterpiece.
Yeah, they want the stars to fill at home, right? And it's California, so it's not too far away from where these things are made. So.
Yeah, and even like J.J. Abrams was at the iPhone event just to, you know, as a guest in the crowd.
Right, yeah. So when this was just about news, I wasn't super hyped about it. It was like, okay, it's a new way to consume things that we can already find elsewhere. I guess that's an event. But is, you know, once it's concrete that we'll also see video as part of this, then I'm no longer wondering, like, what else will there be that isn't rumored, you know, or that hasn't been knocked down yet. Like, it feels like that can be its own event. Because we've been discussing this stuff for 2 years now. Or almost 2 years, and now it's time to see, like, what is it? So,
at least for everyone that groaned when Drake came out on the stage at WWDC for Apple Music unveiling in 2015, at least you won't have to worry about the TV service or the new service being a WWDC stage.
Yeah, event. Get it out of the way. It's not part of the developer stuff at all. It's iOS 12.2, but it's not software. You know, it's a service. So yeah. So I mean, and these have come in like in the last 48 hours. This collection of stories. Before that, there have been. There's been kind of a flurry of stories that otherwise would be super interesting, but it's all about like hardware rumors and things to come that are rumored and like when they'll come. Give me a little summary of all of the hardware rumors from this week that otherwise would be we'd think were coming at this event.
Yeah, so we had the aforementioned Greek one that said, you know, AirPower Plus 2 and iPads, but then that kind of got shot down, although it didn't on Twitter. Paschkowski said that the charging mat, the AirPower mat, was unlikely to feature. The AirPods 2 and iPads were kind of ignoring that now because it was wrong. And at least to be the March event content. The lead on the a Greek story was that these things are shipping on March 29th, and maybe they just kind of like figuratively created the whole, oh, it must be at the Apple event, but... You know, they could still be right, and these things could ship on March 29th. We'll see. They're an unknown quantity, but they at least got something right, that there is an Apple event in March. So there you go. And then we had OnLeaks, who has, you know, has a good reputation in the past of with like the iPad Pro 2018 schematics and renders months ahead of the unveiling of that dramatic redesign. This is an interesting story. This said that the AirPods wireless charging case is releasing soon, i.e. within the next month or so, but AirPods 2, i.e. upgrades to the actual earbuds, will not come until the fall. So you would have Apple sell the charging case just alongside the first generation AirPods for
almost
months.
Like the original AirPower plan, as if there was no year delay. Which kind of meshes with what Ming-Chi Kuo has said before he went in hiding, you know, wireless charging case soon. I don't think did he say AirPods second generation or just case? I don't recall.
I'm pretty sure he said just case.
Yeah. So, okay. That's another, like when the rumors are that it's not quite as good as it might have been, then you can tend to trust it more.
And an AirPods charging case doesn't have to be event worthy. It can be press release, right?
Yeah.
A lot of these stories are very candidates for press releases. Even the AirPower mat, it was demoed already, so it's had its stage time technically. So that could very easily be press release now available. And as the dates draw on and on, you know, a press release at least averts the gaze of the media to have another round of jokes about it, you know, coming out a year and a half later.
The last iPod Touch was just a website update and press release. The MacBook Pro, the MacBook Pro update last year when it got True Tone was a press release, and then the next update was like a sub bullet in a press release after an event when it got a faster GPU option.
Oh yeah, that's when they added the new Vega chips. Yeah.
So there's totally precedent for like the hardware not being in an event and just being put out when it's ready, even if it isn't on the same day or the same week.
And I kind of took AirPods charging case coming soon to be a decent signal about the AirPower mat actually being ready, because it feels like that's what they've been holding it for, right?
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
They're not holding it for AirPods 2 necessarily. They're holding it so they can sell it with the mat that they demoed in September 2017.
Because if AirPower wasn't going to happen, then they would just not bother and just sell it with AirPods 2 whenever that's ready. But if that's not ready, if AirPods 2 aren't ready, the mat is ready. Then there's case. So there's a reason to be hopeful.
Okay. And you can still go to apple.com/AirPods, scroll down, and there's a picture of the charging case on the AirPower mat.
Yeah.
Maybe that will be the reality within a month. Like the time is ticking now from every day from now to the 29th of March.
Yeah. Me and you are both in the camp of like, no matter how long the wait is on this, you know, we are interested in AirPower and we'll buy it. With the charging case, that's tricky. Like, it depends on the price, I guess. But like, I would be inclined to buy that. But it's not a great deal right now. Like, you're better if you want wireless charging. Like, you can like retrofit your charging case to work with wireless charging for much less, and then because the whole charging case, like, that's not the problem with AirPods that have been worn out. It's like the pods themselves have bad batteries now. The charging case is kind of okay. It's just not wirelessly charged. It's because I use Lightning to charge it up. And then there's not much value in having two charging cases, one this Lightning base and one this wireless and Lightning. So would you buy?
I guess you just have to lump it and eat the cost, because it would be so stupid to buy the AirPower mat and then not be able to charge your AirPods on it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, because I have wireless chargers for the iPhone, and then the watch, like, you know, I charge that too. So AirPods is a big part of that. So yeah, I guess you just got to deal with it. And then of course we'll upgrade later on. And then the idea of, like, passing down or selling AirPods kind of irks me out, because AirPods get so dirty, like, they get really gross and they're really hard to clean. I've not looked at the market of, like, buying used AirPods. I heard from one friend who told me, in preparing to sell his, that he discovered selling the parts individually. So left AirPod, right AirPod case as, like, individual items gets you a better deal. But I guess because, you know, you're more inclined to, like, pay like $30 for one if you're not buying a whole new set. If you just, like, lost one of them. So there's a tip, I guess, but the whole idea of, like, super, I just never, like, even photographing AirPods is very difficult because they get so gross so fast.
Yeah.
I guess if you're in the market for AirPods too, like, just be very wary of that, because the battery depletion makes them just very different than when they were brand new.
Yeah. On that same line, we had another shaky report from My Smart Price saying that the AirPower mat will ship in the spring for $150, and it will have "quote unquote" exclusive features in iOS 13. Okay. This all seems very, very arm's length information to me, and very, very sketchy. But
you know, they added, and with the live listening feature in iOS 12, the accessibility feature where you put your iPhone in one room or, like, near you. Let's say you put it near you, and then you hear what the iPhone picks up through your AirPods that you're wearing as, like, a listening enhancement device. They added that, like, to the specs page of AirPods. So, like, that's the feature AirPods got through iOS 12. So, and then what My Smart Price is saying is that AirPower gets something in iOS 13?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I can see that if there's something that it does on the screen of the device. I just don't know what it would be.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen those animations, right? So right, that's what they demoed first time around. And yeah, presumably that's still going to happen.
I mean, we saw in software update,
The thing is, exclusive feature for iOS 13 could be the battery widget on the home screen, not on the side page, if you know what I mean. So there's a big range and spectrum of what that could actually mean.
Yeah, I also thought about whenever Apple, through software, allowed 7.5-watt wireless charging from Belkin and Mophie. Through a software update, they flagged that as okay, whereas before it was 5-watt for everybody, including those two people, partners. So it's like, there's lots that can fall into that category. It's just, you know, it's just nothing flashy, I guess.
Yeah, the same site said that AirPods 2 will come in black, which would be cool, and they will come with a grippier finish.
But both of those things really interest me. I just wish they were from better sources.
Yeah, I agree.
Because everyone's wanted black for forever. It's not original idea at all. And people would probably pay like $30 extra for it, like you do for the mouse and keyboard. And then the grippy part, I had been thinking, like, just like a matte finish might look cool, like they did with the Apple Pencil. And then also it would stick in your ears. Like, for people, like, AirPods are fine on my ears, but for some people they do fall out. And so if it's a matte finish, maybe it helps with that. They made a comparison to some Google hardware, I think. I wasn't familiar with it.
Yeah, so you know the Pixel 3? On the back of the Pixel 3, it's all glass, but the top third of it is like the glass that we know from an iPhone, like, you know, glossy. And then the rest of it's like coated, so it's smooth. It's like a you know, it's like sandpapery, but smooth sandpaper, so it's matte finish,
it looks
essentially.
Like frosted, but it's still
glass. Yeah, frosted is a good way to describe it, but it's still... It doesn't reflect really, but it's still glass. So that's how they compared it, but that's glass and not plastic. So right, I don't know how much you can go on with that.
I wish they were saying like Apple Pencil.
Yeah.
You know, just be like, okay, it's white and plastic and it's matte now instead of shiny and smooth.
And obviously that's very weird rumor site. So
yeah,
not putting too much value in that one.
Yeah, I mean, but before the major stories of the week, you know, the event, the services, details, all that, like, it was a big mix of really weird and all over the place rumors from different places that were exciting, but like not super reliable. But you know,
yeah, Mac Attacker. We're not done. Mac Attacker had a couple of ones. They
okay.
Yeah, they echoed the 10-inch iPad rumor, and they said that the iPad Mini 4 will look, the iPad Mini 5 will look exactly like an iPad Mini 4 with Touch ID, 3.5mm headphone jack, and Lightning connector. The only change that they noticed was that the rear microphone will move to the center, which is how the iPad, the 2018 329 iPad does it. It moved the microphone from the left side to the middle. But otherwise, it's just going to be like a spec update, and they follow the previous things we've been hearing from DigiTimes and other places that the iPad Mini 5 will be boring and lower price and maybe an A10 chip inside. So, boring.
Yeah.
Plus, then they echoed, I can't believe this is another headline that we're doing for another year. 2019 iPhone reported to stick to the Lightning port and the same 5-watt charger.
Mm, yeah, yeah. When I mentioned that story and then if I make daily as like a headline, you know, to run by, my analysis was that it's very believable and disappointing, but believable. You know?
Yeah, I'm not surprised the Lightning port is staying around for another year.
It's 5 watts that gets you.
5 watts annoys me, and the USB-C cable annoys me because I think even if they went to, because at the moment the response from the 5-watt is fine community is because it's smaller than like the 12-watt or the 18-watt plugs, then it's fine. Mm-hmm. Well, they could make a 5-watt USB-C charger that was also small, but they don't do that either. Yeah. So, because I think what I would be happy with is Lightning in the port and then a Lightning to USB-C cable and then the USB-C charge brick bundled. Because then you can use fast charging over USB-C, or at the very least, you just have a USB-C cable which can actually plug into the iPad, the MacBook, you know, every other product Apple sells. And if you do it like that, there's actually very little disruption to the ecosystem of iPhone accessories because it's still a Lightning port. So everyone has loads of Lightning cables around anyway. So if they want to plug into everything else they've already got, you just use the Lightning cables you already have. So the USB-C would work with the USB-C charger that comes in the box. And obviously over time, you'd buy USB-C stuff, but all your existing Lightning cables would still work with the iPhone. You could just plug them into the same USB chargers everyone owns, left, right, and center. But no, it sounds like we have another year of the same. And apparently it's a cost-cutting measure. So we will wait and see whether those cost cuttings are passed on to the end customer.
Yeah.
They won't be.
Yeah. Yeah. I like USB-C. Like, there were some early headlines about USB-C being terrible. And there are a lot of complications about like the connector being like one thing. And then like the what it does being so many other things. Like there can be various ports that do different things. You know, Thunderbolt 3, USB-C 3.0 and 1. But as like just the connector type, I like it. And, I think what got me just to accept it is what it is like my car has USB-A and, you know, USB-A is just everywhere. It seems like you're just not going to get away from it very fast. And the iPhone isn't going to be one to push that either. So, oh well, that again, disappointing, but very, very believable. So, anything else in the wild rumor front that we got this week? Or does that
the final it? One, we have a DigiTimes report that A13 chip will be going to production in April timeframe, which is the same time as the iPhone chips normally go into production.
Yeah.
And it will be using the same 7-nanometer process as the A12. So last year, Apple made a big deal about being the first company to ship 7-meter chips in volume in the iPhone and the iPads.
In volume, right.
It sounds like this year it will still be 7-nanometers. But normally what happened last year is Apple's architecture of the chip didn't really change. They just used the benefits of the fab of the die shrink by going from 10 to 7. What normally happens is in the years where they stay on 7, they have more fundamental changes to how the chip is made and laid out. And so it'll probably get it'll be more interesting on that basis rather than the fabrication.
So by shrinking, then there's just built-in benefits of power efficiency, smaller route to travel. But then
Literally less distance to travel.
Right. And then the next year, keep that same small size, but just improve on other efficiencies, you know, redesign to be more efficient within that size. And then you get speed enhancements that way. So
Yeah, so don't read this as the 2019 iTunes will be as fast as 2018. They could still be substantially quicker. It just depends on Apple's roadmap.
And we should expect probably to be on 7-nanometer die for a while. Because it's pretty early on.
I think there were some rumors that Digitimes might be ready for 5-nanometer, by TSMC might be ready for 5-nanometer by late 2020.
Mm.
So maybe next year we change again. But, I mean, 7 nanometers is fine. So
pretty small.
Yeah, and there's definitely more changes Apple can make to the processor and the GPU to get improvements that don't require fabrication changes. Yeah. So
okay. Well.
And that's about it from the incredible bonanza of hardware rumors, services rumors. There was a lot of stuff. We skipped loads of stories this week, and we still had so much disparate, the interconnected. Yeah,
the show that would have been otherwise. So, all right, well, with like what now, 40 days to go until the Apple event, we've got a lot more time to lead up to that. I'm optimistic that we do get some of these hardware releases before or around, but before the event would be great. There's so much to be released, you know, even before the fall, so that would make sense to be released. So, you know, maybe between now and late March, we see those things. Until then, that is the Happy Hour podcast for this week. You can email us at happyhour@95mac.com, or you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Apollo Zach Benjamin. You are
at BZA Mayo.
All right, and we'll be back next week. Bye, everybody.